first. That's one of the Sunday school songs we sing, right? J-O-Y, to the tune of Jingle Bells, I think it is. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this spells joy to me. Jesus first, yourself last, others in between. Amen? Some pretty good singing right there, huh? All right, so God wants us to be unselfish, to put others first. Part of that is understanding that God owns what? Everything, even us. He bought us with his blood. Everything that we see is his. We are just stewards. And that can help us to be unselfish. But let's just be reminded of that from David, 1 Chronicles 29:14. Brent, here is where David was collecting the offering so that his son Solomon could build the first temple. God didn't allow David to build it because he was a man of war. But God did allow David to do the fundraising. And after the people gave, they actually gave too much to build the temple. And this was David's response here in 1 Chronicles 29:14.
But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee.
All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Now we often will pray that at offering time, but it's true. Of thine own have we given thee. You know, we often talk about giving and the tithe and so forth. We're not giving God 10% of what's ours. We're giving God back 10% of what's his. And if we keep that in perspective, that he owns everything, that will help us to be more unselfish in our walk with Christ. Because we're not here to please ourselves, are we? Once we're a born-again Christian, we are here to serve the one who gave us eternal life, gave us a home in heaven. We're to put God first and, of course, others first, as we saw there in Romans 12:10, preferring one another. So let's look at some verses on this today. Romans chapter 15, Philip, verses 1 to 3. We're talking today about unselfishness, number 37 in our 40 Christian virtues. Not to please ourselves. And then he points to our Savior as the example. Even Christ pleased not himself. Jesus came for us. Amen. He didn't come for himself. If he would have come for himself, he wouldn't have come. Because what he was going to face, having to become human, all the suffering, and ultimately physical death, all for us. He did that for us. He pleased not himself. This is a theme all throughout Scripture. Let's look at some more. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Roy 24 and 33 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope everyone understands in those two verses that wealth and profit are not just talking about money, even though we often use those words to refer to money. Here, when he talks about another man's wealth, he means in all things, that we're to seek to be a blessing and a help to others. And verse 33, as I please all men in all things. That is unselfishness. When God is describing biblical charity, Mr. Zeus, 1 Corinthians 13:5, he talks about how biblical charity is unselfish. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5.
Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is it not easily provoked, thinketh no evil.
So that phrase, seeketh not her own, that's talking about biblical charity, seeketh not her own. Amen? Seeketh not to please self first, seeking to please God and others first. That is true unselfishness. Now, we talked already when we got to the letter C about contentment, which they go kind of hand in hand, don't they? But this is where we understand that we are here to serve God and to serve others. Amen? Galatians 5:13 tells us this. Nathan, if you'd read that for us. Please.
For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another.
By love serve who? One another, not yourself. Amen? Unselfishness. And it does also have to do with our physical things as well. 1 Timothy 6:18, Isaiah, if you'd read that for us. God uses the word distribute here.
That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate.
Even the word communicate isn't just talking about talking, it's talking about in your actions being a blessing to others. So God wants us to be unselfish. 1 John 3:17, Brad, if you'd read that for us, talks about our physical things that we have. We're to use them to what? Serve others. You see your brother have need, what does God tell us to do? Meet the need. If we have the resources to meet the need, we meet the need. We don't even need to pray about it. Amen? If someone has a need and we have the means to meet the need, we don't have to say, Lord, please meet that need. No, we just meet the need. That's what God is teaching us. And then in verse 18, what does he say? Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed. Let us love in what we do, not what we say with our words. Amen? So we are to live an unselfish Christian life. Romans 12:10, Philippians 2, 3, and 4, good memory verses for that virtue. Any thoughts or questions about the virtue of unselfishness? Number 37 in our alphabetical list. All right, staying with alphabetical, we're going to go to watchfulness. So 1 Thessalonians 5:6 is a good start, good memory verse. Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. We're to be watchful or vigilant.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober.
So, what are we to be watching for? We're going to look at a lot of verses that tell us to watch, but what do we watch for? Anybody? If we're told to be watchful, we're always supposed to be watching for something. What is it? So that's one thing for sure, is the return of Jesus, which we'll see. But what else? Exactly. We're to be watchful for the devil. Amen? 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be what? Vigilant. That's another word for watchful. Keep your eye out for the devil's attacks, because he's very sneaky. He uses wiles. Amen? So we're to be watching here and up there, both at the same time. That's a bit of a challenge, but that's what we're commanded to do. We're to be watchful for the return of Jesus and to be watchful for the devil. So let's look back in Matthew 24. Oh, by the way, those are the two good memory verses, 1 Thessalonians 5:6, 1 Peter 5:8, which I quoted. So Matthew 24:42, Howard, and then 25:13 talk about watching for the return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come.
Amen. And then 25:13.
Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.
So we're to be watchful, amen, for the return of Jesus Christ. And as we saw in 1 Peter 5:8, we're to be watchful for the attacks, the wiles of the devil. So we have to be very vigilant, very watchful. all the time. Because if we're not watchful, then the devil will tempt us. Amen? And we won't be ready for it. And Jesus talked about this, Matthew 26:41, Philip. This is when Jesus was praying there in the garden, just prior to being taken away for the mock trials. And he said to his disciples,
"Watch and pray that he eats not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is
weak." Watch and pray. Amen? Watch and pray. Watch, gentlemen. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch. Because the devil never stops. Later on, he said to Peter, "The devil wants to sift you as wheat." So we're to be watchful. As we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, we're not to be sleeping. That's talking spiritually, but physically as well. We're not to be lazy, but we're to be watchful for the return of Jesus Christ and for the devil and his wiles. 1 Corinthians 16:13 is another good one. Did I skip you, Brent? Yeah, could you read that for us? 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye. So here he's talking about how to be strong in the Lord. And the first thing he says is, watch ye. Then he says, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. You got to be watchful. If you're not watchful, you can't be strong in the faith. And you can't, that word quit means to act like or have the life of a man. To be strong. And then Hebrews 2:1. Roy, if you could read that for us.
Therefore, we want to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, as at any time we should judge it.
How did you read that so fast, brother? You're just fast on your phone, aren't you? That was like instantaneous. I don't know how he did that. But notice, give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So if we're not watchful, things can slip. Amen? So God wants us to be ever so watchful for the return of Jesus, for the devil's wiles. Are we to be watchful in prayer? And if so, what does that mean? Let's look at some verses. Ephesians 6:18, Mr. Zeus, if you'd read that for us. Brother, I'm on your side. Use the real deal. Amen. 6:18.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Now here, the Bible is concluding the passage on the Christian armor, right? He's giving us the seventh piece, or the seventh thing, and that's prayer. Praying how often? Always. With prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and you put on the armor, what are we supposed to do? Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In other words, we'll be constantly watchful. Amen? Watchful even in our prayer life. Nathan, Colossians 4:2, if you would.
Continue with prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving.
I love that verse because it's short and yet it teaches us so much about prayer. First of all, continue. So we're to be right praying without ceasing. Second of all, we're to always include praise and thanksgiving in our prayers. But thirdly, we're to be watching. We often don't think about this, but we're to be watchful in our prayer life. Now, what does that mean exactly? Brother Mark?
Just coming from a different point of view, but hopefully it isn't calculated. We can look around at what's happening in the world, okay? Sometimes we can see things and thinking that's a hindrance to our faith, know, whatever laws governments bring in, that's us being watchful. We're saying that speaks against God. So as Christians, we should either speak, pray against evil things. In the sense.
Okay.
We need to be a voice. So in a sense there, being watchful is being aware around what's happening around you.
Yep.
I mean, so in a sense, like for your children, if you're going across a busy road, you take their hand and guide them across that road. Same as in society. If we see things that are happening around us that's against our Christian faith, against God, then we need to be watchful and being aware of it.
Very good. So that's another area we have to be watchful, is this wicked world in which we live. Amen? Love not the world. So we're talking also about prayer here. And while we are praying, let me ask it this way. It's not a rhetorical question necessarily, but is prayer a spiritual act? It is. Amen? Which means that when we do pray, are we entering into the spiritual realm? Right? So who lives in the spiritual realm? Here on earth. Does the devil live in the spiritual realm? Can you see him with your physical eyes? No. So, will the devil try to hinder us in our prayer lives? Or when we go to pray, does it say, okay, I'm going to leave him alone? What's that?
He'll leave us alone if we're truly, what I've experienced is if I'm really quiet and at peace before God and draw near to him, even just when I'm going about my daily things, so then, you know, I'll be able to connect with God and Spirit.
Okay, so greater is he that is in you, right, than he that is in the world. But will the devil, if he can get an opportunity, try to also use prayer as an opportunity to go after us, especially in our thought life? Doesn't the Bible tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ? Right? Casting down imaginations. Do we not have thought battles even when we pray, or imagination battles even when we pray? When we go to pray, sometimes do we not, is it not a fight to even make yourself pray when your flesh doesn't want to? And so that brings us to 1 Peter 4:7. Brad, if you could read that for us. We have to be watchful even when we pray. Watch unto prayer. So yes, we're definitely to be watchful for that trumpet. Amen? And praise God, even so come Lord Jesus. Once the trumpet blows, none of this matters anymore. Amen? We're also to be watchful because the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's always going to try to find a way to use his wiles against us, which is why we need to have that armor. Why we need to be in prayer. But we also need to be watchful in prayer, that he doesn't cause us to wander in our thoughts or to get lost in our prayers, if you will, in our minds. It can happen. We've all been there, haven't we? So we've even got to be watchful when we pray, because that is when we are entering into the spiritual realm. And the Christian life is a spiritual battle, isn't it? The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's a battle. From the day we get saved till the day that trumpet does blow or we leave this earth through death, it's a battle. And soldiers, when they're on the battlefield, they have to be watchful all the time, don't they? Always vigilant, ready for that next attack. And it might even be a sneaky attack at night. So God wants us to be watchful. That's number 38 of our 40 Christian virtues. Any thoughts or questions about that one? That we must be watchful or vigilant all the time. Amen? because it doesn't stop. The devil doesn't take a break. He's got a lot of helpers. We don't know how many, but there's a lot. And he never says, oh, I'm going to take the week off. It'd be nice if he could give us a week off, but he doesn't. So we've got to be ever watchful. Any thoughts or questions about number 38? All right, 39 is going to be a big one. We'll probably have to take 2 weeks, and then we'll go to 40 next week. And that is wisdom. Wisdom. That's big. So let's start in Proverbs chapter 1. That's a good place to start if we're talking about wisdom. Amen. And verses 1 through 7, just the introduction to Proverbs. So, Brother Jim, if you could read that for us.
Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to receive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings.
Not all the time that we get an introduction like that to a book where we're told right up front, this is why I'm writing this book. But Solomon did that for us. To give us wisdom, to give us knowledge, to give us understanding. Amen? These are words that he put in this introduction. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, instruction. And God commands every one of us to have wisdom. Well, we know now where wisdom comes from. Amen? It comes from God's Word. That is the only source of true wisdom. So let's look at it. Proverbs 9:10. Howard, if you could go there for us. That's a good memory verse, by the way, Proverbs 9:10.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then for a New Testament memory verse, Brent, if you could read James 1:5 for us.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, give it to all men liberally, abradeth not, and it shall be given him.
Amen. I've often said one of the greatest ways to keep learning is to keep pleading ignorance. Keep telling God you don't know, you don't have all the answers, you haven't got it all figured out. And we are commanded to get wisdom all through the Scriptures, but especially in Proverbs. So let's just look at some Proverbs verses, and we'll probably have to finish there. So, Philip, if you could do for us 3:13 of Proverbs. Happy. So God promises happiness to those who find wisdom. Amen. And then Proverbs 4:5, Roy.
Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth.
Amen. And then verse 7 as well.
Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding.
It's the principal thing. Amen. And Proverbs 8:11, Mr. Zeus.
For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it.
I love that. Not to be compared. There's nothing on earth, he says, that you can compare to wisdom. The getting of it is like rubies. And then Proverbs 16:16, Nathan. Amen. So God wants his children to be constantly acquiring wisdom. And that's only one source for that wisdom. Amen. That's the Word of God. So we'll go to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Brad. Colossians 1, 9 and 10 for a New Testament passage.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
I love that verse 9. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding, all in one verse. And then in verse 10, increasing. So that's our job. It's from the day we get saved, is to keep increasing in what? The knowledge of God. But there's only one place where we get the knowledge of God, and that's in God's Word that He has written for us and given to us. Which means it's our mission, our calling, our command to continue to be in this book. Amen? Every day, acquiring wisdom. I think we'll stop there and dive in next week to wisdom. And then we'll go to number 40 from there. Anybody want to guess? Alphabetically, what the last one would be? Is there a Z word in the Bible that talks about a Christian virtue? Zeal.